Okay, I was asked to talk about some of the issues that are going to come up in camp. Mitzad halacha, mitzad hashkafa. So I'm going to try to cover some, I think, very important issues that come up. You might ask, why am I talking about this? So I was a rav of a camp for a couple of years. So I have a small experience of understanding, been involved in camps and camp life for tens and tens of years. So as much as it's a big transition of going from yeshiva, where the subculture is aspirations of Avodas Hashem, and so clear of Mishmar, and the camp culture is not like that. Camp culture a lot of times is, okay, how much time can I kill? You know, la roget azman. And it's like almost like that's the mitzvah aseh. And the FOMO, if you will, and that's one of the big challenges on a chinuch level of how not to lose the kedusha sazman, not to pretend that that camp is yeshiva, at the same time to very much actualize. So, to really take advantage. So first, the first point in the chinuch is a yesod. It's a yesod that there's a good chance that you're going to go into camp and there's going to be some halacha that you're like, wow, I can't believe this camp is doing that. I just can't believe it's doing this, right? It seems to be usser. And I'll mention some certain things that will come up. But the first thing is, before you decide that you're firmer than the camp and you're firmer than the rub of the camp, there's got to be an approach. The approach has got to be not that you have to be a renegade and come and say, I'm firmer than you are, and therefore I know more than you because I learned one year in yeshiva. At the same time, there is still halacha, and halacha is important. And there's a way to properly figure out what's going on in camp. And there is a rub of a camp. So you don't go over and say, I demand to know right now, how is it possible that there are two girls singing together? Or that there's singing going on here during the 3 weeks? How is it possible? I want to know. You know, you go with a certain amount of anivut. Certain amount of like, look, I'm interested to know about it. You know, to be able to understand. So that's, first of all, a surah. There's a certain process in how to properly do it, not in a egotistical, condescending way, but in a anivus way of Moshe Emes v'Saras Emes. There's a very important categorization within halacha that you need to know, which is that there are, I wrote down here, five different areas of halachic process, halachic psak. And you have to understand when these apply. And in certain areas, it's different. Let me explain what I mean. The five areas I wrote is mitzvah min mahadrin, or mitzvah min mufchar, if you will. Number two is lecharchila. Number three is bidyevet. Number four is shasat chak. And number five is aser. It's very important. Labriyut. Stop it. Labriyut. Meaning there's a... just like there's a difference to know. When you're doing something, it's important to know if it's a midas chasidus, is it a minog, is it halacha. It's important to know. Is it the rabbanon's daraisa? So too, when we talk about these five areas. So therefore, for example, the problem comes a lot of times in these camps is when these areas become blurred. Meaning, there are sometimes, I'll give you, I think one of the classical examples comes with the singing or live music during the 3 weeks. So do we say that that's usser, and therefore, how's that happening? Or do we say that it's shastchak, or it's bidyevin, and therefore maybe even comes lecharchila? Let me explain what I mean. Rav Neventhal is machmir when it comes to even singing during the 3 weeks. He says on Shabbos it's allowed. But he does say in his shelot to tshuvot on the 3 weeks that you're allowed to listen to live music for heter kiyuv. He says you have to be lishkol. You have to be lishkol. What that means, you know? And he quotes it like from the Gemara in Sota about a chassid shota, being able to understand what's going on. So just to understand, if I'm not going to Mount Moshavah in Ezmor this summer, and I was just in Toronto, Should you be listening to live music during the 3 weeks? It's pasha that it's aser. Pasha that it's aser. But in Moshe Va, and it's more, that bidyevid might become a lichachila for in that type of halachic realm. Just to understand how the halachic system works that way. So you have to be careful to know that there are certain things that you say, I just can't believe, you know. So when you're dancing with a girl, it's shastchak, it's bit, no, that's us. You know what I'm saying? And somebody asked me, should I be learning with a girl? You know, I told them at that point, I think there's plenty of guys for you to learn with. Plenty of guys to learn with at that point. I mean, they want to learn Torah. Okay, I know what they want to learn. I mean, there's an idea of understanding when it comes to, even one of the guys asked me about speaking to girls in camp. Okay, it's the same type of idea where the Mishnah Avos says, Al tar b'sicha me'isha. And it doesn't mean that it's usher. You have to know yourself. Is it the idea that you're a mensch and you say Shalom Aleichem and you're friends with somebody? Or does it mean that you're going to be spending 5 hours and then not being doing what you're supposed to be doing? So for certain people, the right thing to do is to speak and to be friendly and to be friends. But if you're hanging out at Shechem there for an hour or two or three and then not learning at all and not doing things, that's a problem. So you have to know for yourself. Again, that concept of when is something lechachila, and it might be in the city it's lechachila, but now in this camp, because I'm doing it, it's b'diavad. I'll give you another great example. Another great example is a siyum. A siyum during the 9 days. It used to be that the yeshiva or the hesder, for sure, it was something truly frowned upon. It's truly frowned upon to plan a siyum for the 9 days. And that's what's brought down in the Shaila Teshuvot by Rav Nemetzal also. NCSY nowadays, they don't care. They literally plan a siyum for almost every single day. Personally, in the Fiat News Daiti, I think it's a big mistake. I think it's a big mistake. I think it's halachically problematic. I think there is an issue of being able, if a person planned it once, okay. So again, you're in camp, a one-time busser. Say that I'm a person who enjoys succulent steak. I get it. At the same time, there's a certain level of understanding that the 9 days is that there's a gaguim, that we're not shalem, that there is a certain lacking that we have. And to be able to have a siyum every single day, I think it's not within the ruach of halacha. It's not what you should be doing. Now, again, if it happens and then there is and you're on an NCSY program, again, I don't think it's your place to go over to the assistant director, Ben Book, and say, I can't believe on Jolt you're doing a siyum every single day. You can talk about it and do it, but again, to be done with a certain amount of, I'm just talking about in general, what I believe when it comes to siyumim that way, just to be smart about it. Three more points in Chinuch and then a couple other halachic points. The one, just to follow up on the first point, which was not only the how to do it, let's say you viscerally disagree with something that's going on in the camp within the rabbi of the camp. What do? You don't make a stink and you go, I'm that person. Because that, you're going to be, whether it's going to be Yura or Mechsiki Yura, it's definitely going to happen, which in English would be called religious arrogance. There is a certain level, though, of being able to know how to properly say, you know what, I think this is my shita, and I think that's what I feel comfortable with. And being able to do it in a tsanua way, that you don't have to make such a stink over it. And, you know, there's so many cases like that, for example, where things that are, again, what I had said before about whether it's a halacha, whether it's a midas chasidus, whether it's a minug, to know these things is to make sure, for sure, before you make a stink, and I highly recommend not being ignorant and not being a person that's going to cause attention to yourself. At the same time, to also not be makel on halacha. To know, kula is not a curse word, but at the same time, to know not to be mezalzel b'halacha, And to know when you could be makel, and if you decide to be machmir, not to do it in a grandiloquent way, that you are really going and showing up the rabbi. At the same time, to be able to speak about it, to learn about it, and you have to be careful, because that will lead to my next thing, which is, if you're doing that, and then you're going to cause a quiet revolution within your bunk, but also may not be so smart, and you have to be careful. And those are the things you need to speak to the rabbi, to the head of the Eidah there, of how to deal with that. Two other points. Any questions what I've said so far? Yeah.
It's a two-part question. One, if there is a seum, should we, like, is it wrong, I guess, or is it proper to not be having the meat? Like, or, like, once there's a seum, it doesn't matter. Like,
so, I think the answer is if it's one seum, I think it's totally fine.
Right, and what if they have
it? I think it's the other one. So then it comes back to, again, not making us think about it, meaning if the person's super close to you, so you should be there. If you have nothing to do with them, so again, if you don't do it, I think there is an inyan, not, you're not close to them, whatever it is. There is an inyan not to, I believe there is a halachic inyan not to be in every single siyum. Again, that's just using your chachma.
And would there be a difference if you're the one making the siyum?
I think if you're the one who's making the siyum, so two parts. Number one is, you shouldn't be planning it for the 9 days. If it happens to be that it came out that way, gezuntahei, that's lecharchila, yashar koch. If you're making the siyum and that's, you know, it's a thing that's done in your community that way, so I think that, and you're that one time, you should eat it for sure if it's for you, 100%. Yeah, Jacob.
If you were like physically present at the siyum, are you not like chayav of shabbos as mitzvah in terms of eating meat or not?
I don't know if you're chayav that way. No, I don't think so. Yeah.
The kids aren't on like such religious level, and perhaps they wouldn't see a siyum at any other point, is it? If you're in the 9 days, to make a siyum within the 9 days, and that way
the answer is yes, but not every day. You with me? 100%. To explain to them what a siyum is, to 100%. Yeah.
How can music become, can you just repeat how music can become a lecharchila?
The music can become a lecharchila. I'll quote it to you again. That I'll just quote that from Rav Nevinson. Ha'im mutar lashmiya musika yide klei negina o kaletet lematarat kiru v'chokim lifnei acharei tishat hayamim. Not even about the 3 weeks, right? 9 days. Answer. Yitachin lahatir mimnei shadavar dome liyisha tovat benahar. Shelo liyot chasid shota. Amnam tzarich lishkol heitev mimnei shetarach bazeh. So a lot of the camps, you're going to a camp, and if you mamish don't have any music, so then it's like, you're dead. Like, what am I doing in this camp? So on a certain level, that's what the camps are being somechan to say, that this is a camp. Agreed, 100%. If you're in Kushner, you're in Englewood, you're in Livingston, you shouldn't be listening to live music. But for that point of time, that is a lecharchil, that heter becomes a lecharchil because you're trying to educate.
But when we say that a camp like Morasha, like the purpose is the kiruv?
Good. First of all, you have to talk, I think, to the Morasha heads, and I think the answer is yes. I think the answer is there's a certain chizuk that's going on there. And that's where definitely the post-Shanalov guy is going back, which we'll talk about. That's my next point of talking about that. Yeah, Jordan.
Going back to the exact point, like, they don't need, let's say, to in such a camp, they don't need, like, oh, Heather Kier, let's have a simple line of concert, you know, like, just, or something, like, just, like, you don't need to have that during the week for Kier purposes, like, why didn't you just say, oh, Heather Kier?
So that, it's definitely a good question, and it's something, if I was you, to find the right person to try to figure out way before, not the day of. But if you already got your schedule that the Simcha Lina concert is on Rosh Chodesh Av or during the 9 days, so then it's a really good question. It's a good question why the director decided to do that. Might be that was the only time. 100% correct. It's definitely a question. Yeah. Yeah.
Question regarding live music. So obviously, I mean, if you're at a concert, if the night is live music, but what about if you're listening to music that was like, they have, like, say, live albums that was, like, recorded live? Is that considered live music also?
So meaning you have something that's recorded that's with like a lot, but it's live music.
Yeah, it's like at a concert is recorded, and that's what
it's, it's probably, again, it's definitely a, they say, again, for the 3 weeks that definitely Rav Malamed and even Rav Shlomo, even Rav Nemetzal talks about that if it's Shirei Dveikos that you could be doing. I think the live concert is still a problem. Okay, if it's Shirim HaMe'orim La'abat Hashem Yirato, it's Mutter. But Bina Mitzarim, again, but nowadays we have all the different type of what's it called? Acapellas. Last question so we can move on to other things. Yeah, no problem.
When you say how things that were also can become lechachila.
I didn't say that. I said that there are things that are b'di'evid that become lechachila. I said the problem is that there are certain things that people think are usher. That's where the blurring of the lines. You have to be super careful. have to be super careful with that. That I think people take things and try to, you know, not everyone. I didn't say the whole thing about the live music without having big poskim that are saying that. So you can't just.
But was Rav Nemezal not making an asar alacha chela as opposed to the yevra alacha chela?
I think it's a good question. I think he was saying. He was saying
otherwise
that.
Just wouldn't be allowed to do that. Right.
Yeah. So that's what the question. The question was, how far can you take it? Like, how often? Like, are you going
to
be something?
The answer is, you got to speak to your local Orthodox rabbi for each time. That it's not so pasha to do that. You're 100% correct. 100% correct. The tefillah. A big piece of it, which comes within chinuch, is your davening as a madrich to be that dugma yishit. So number one, not just shushing. Shh. And then the question comes, echad amarich v'echad mekatzer b'tfila. So a lot of people feel that the longer your Shmona Esrei, the better dugma yishit it's going to be. Could be, and also could not be. To be able to make sure to be there and know when you can talk. If you are being able to have a discussion within the tefillah, maybe you take it out. Outside, not like take it outside with him, but to be able to properly communicate with him or her, depending on if it's appropriate, probably more appropriate if it's a madricha, that will be much more effective, in my personal opinion, many times. The quick, any other questions about that? And then I have three quick halachic, other halachas that come up. One,
can we be meku in terms of madrichim speaking during davening?
Great question. I think the answer is yes in a tsurav hilchatit, which means that there is a time in the middle of Pesukei Zimra that if you see that you're talking, not shushing, but you being able to talk to them and help them and take them out. Obviously, I think the ideal would be if you can be davening properly the before and then be there with them. Again, each camp has its own subculture that way. And I understand even some camps, they're not even davening with them. That's another discussion. But assuming that you're davening with them, so there are halachos of when you're talking in the middle of Pesukei Zimra, you say a pasuk of Baruch Hashem li'olam amen v'amen b'shat atzorech. So then you're sandwiching the hefsek within, and then at the end again, you say Baruch Hashem li'olam amen. Definitely, I think, again, normally that's not l'chadchila. Here, I think it becomes l'chadchila if you're doing the proper hadracha there. Yeah.
Being late to davening to get more people at davening.
I think the answer is yes. You know, again, I think the best thing to do is you get up early, you daven from the beginning till your shabbach, and then at that point you're going in. Again, you're not throwing, you're not tossing beds because you're going to get fined or get who knows what sued, but 100% to talk to them to that's part of your responsibility. 100%. Okay, three other quick Hilchos Shabbos things that, or four Hilchos Shabbos things that come up. Very, very popular is going to Shechem, which is the canteen, and being able on Shabbos to say, okay, I want to buy those things on, can I do that on Shabbos? Now you have that in different camps, no? Going to Shechem and say, okay, I'll do this. And how are you allowed to do that? Are you allowed to do that? The answer is yes, with a certain conditions. It's in Hilchos Shabbos, Shin Chav Gimel, Sif Aleph. Obviously, the problems of doing Mekach Memkar on Shabbos is a problem. And there's a Gzeir Midrabbana of Shema Yichtov. However, there are three terms based on the Magen Avraham and the Taz over here. Number one is you're not allowed to use the words buy or sell. You can't say, I'm buying this, or I'm selling you this from the Shechem. Number two, you can't use the word pay. I'll pay for this after Shabbos. You're not allowed to do this. You could say, I'll make sure that it's settled. These are different terminologies that could be used. In the examples that are given in the Lama Tes Malachos, a camper may go to the manager of the camp canteen and ask for a bag of potato chips, package of candies, cookies, etc., without discussing the price. The manager may ask him if he will settle things later, and the camper may assure the manager that he will make arrangements after Shabbos. This is all brought down in the Mishnah Berurah and the Taz there. However, he can't explicitly say, I'm going to pay after Shabbos. So I think that's pretty common in certain camps, just to know that terminology within the halacha that way. Number two, you have people take, what's the word in English? Not a bottle, but a can of soda. Am I allowed to open a can of soda on Shabbos? Right, I'm thirsty. I bought Erev Shabbos. Am I allowed to open up a can on Shabbos? What's the answer? Machlokas. Of course. What's the machlokas? It's a machlokas. So it's not a matter of making it into a kli. It's a machlokas between Rav Shlomo Zalman and Rav El Yoshev. Zichrono Tzadik Levracha. Rav Yoshev asserted it and said that he can't do it because of Makah V'Patish. And Rav Shlomo Zalman said it's mutter. Why do you think he said it was mutter? Because it's what? Not for achila.
Well, that's the way it's supposed to be used.
Fair. That's one of the reasons. It's a chad pa'ami issue. The Rav Yoshev had said maybe there's an isser of mechatech. Anybody knows what isser mechatech is? The difference between korea and mechatech. Korea means tearing. Mechatech also means tearing type of idea. But what is the difference between them? Korea is tearing for constructive purposes also. But mechatech is not only for constructive purposes, but for the exact midah. That's how the Rambam brings it down. That I tear it for an exact amount of time. So therefore, Rav Yoshev had felt that it was still included in that. Rav Shlomo Zalman, based on the concept of other ideas of being Korea, it's a weekly, whether it's because it's temporary, he says it's not a problem. I think a lot of people do are somech on Rav Shlomo Zalman opening up a can on Shabbos. Fixing an Eruv. Fixing an Eruv on, you find out what happens, you're walking by, it's raining in these, first of all, I highly recommend that people buy this Sefer by Rav Rimon. It's a very, very good cheat sheet over there, which will help you with all the different halachos of if you're there. Again, if you're going to Yagilu, they'll teach you, or Yalozu, they'll teach you how to make a mechitza on the premises, or maybe in Spain. I don't know about Wales anymore. They'll do that. But the things that are common is fixing an Erev on Shabbos. If you are walking by and you see that the Erev is down on Shabbos, you keep your mouth shut. You don't tell anybody. That's the halacha. However, if there is a goy over there, so then you can tell the goy, right? Mutar letakin mechitza ide goy. Okay, as long as you don't do an iser Torah. But what'd you say? Yeah, I think you could tell them. You can a lot of these people.
Like the air is broken.
A lot of these time people, especially these people I know, they've been there for years. They're holding more in Hilchos Eruv than everybody else in the camp. Yeah. So yeah, you could tell them, but definitely do not. If that's the simple ideas of an Eruv that it was Mitzkalkel B'Shabbos. What else did I write down here? I know when I was the big thing that happens in camp is the concept of suntan lotion that comes up. That there is a. You don't. You're going to be outside all the time, so you're allowed to dab. You're not allowed to fully put on the suntan lotion. You're allowed to dab, and therefore not be over memareach. Those are some of the halachas hashkafa that come up. Did I miss anything that it's big? Obviously, take advantage of the time and make sure again to be a positive force in camp.
I try to do as much as I can.